The leaked Supreme Court draft opinion overturning nearly 50 years of abortion rights dominated politics this week.
There is now an 8-foot-high fence preventing protesters from getting too close to the Supreme Court building. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Jesse Holland is Saturday host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
Domenico Montanaro is senior political editor and correspondent at NPR. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jesse, I'll start with you. You covered the Supreme Court. The building is now under lockdown. Justices have been given extra security. This seems reminiscent of what it looked like after January 6th. What's your sense of how much this week has rocked the Supreme Court?
Well, it definitely has changed the rest of the year for the Supreme Court. Now, keep in mind, this decision wasn't supposed to come out till late June, early July. And it was likely going to be the very last decision that the justices were going to make before they started their summer break. So in under their plan, this decision would have come out, it would have been the last thing they did, and then they would have vanished for the summer. And all of the protesters, they would have never seen them. But now, because of this leak, they get to see the protesters that don't like, or some who do like, this decision. And it's going to, for them, it's going to disrupt the rest of the year until they leave for the summer. So this literally changed what the leak changed, what the Supreme Court plaza and what the Supreme Court would have looked like until they left for the summer break. Mm-hmm. This is something that they really, really didn't anticipate. And I promise you, they don't like.
So, Domenico, in terms of the effect on politics, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said he doesn't think most voters are single-issue voters, voters who are voting based solely on the issue of abortion, for example. Do you agree with him?
Well, I mean, I think that there are lots of different issues that different people consider to be most important. I think people make, you know, weigh what they think are important things to vote on. I mean, before this draft memo or this draft opinion came out, inflation looked like the top concern for most Americans, and that will likely remain the case. But that doesn't mean that women and men who support abortion rights aren't going to be fired up by what they see as a threat to what has been a right that's been protected for the better part of 50 years. So, you know, to say that someone's not a single issue voter, well, that's not entirely how politics or voting works. You know, if you're motivated because something is upsetting you by the direction of the country, this certainly fits into a larger portion of that. And I would argue that a very important part of the Democratic base is more fired up today than it was a week and a half ago.
Well, to that point, Democrats who control the 50-50 Senate plan to vote next week on a bill to guarantee abortion rights. Here is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer speaking yesterday.
We're going to see where everyone stands. It's the first time there's a vote like this in a very, very long time when the actual rights are at stake, when it's not an abstract exercise. Once we have that vote, we will figure out the best way to go from there.
Jesse, what's he saying there?
Well, one of the things that you can expect, not only from the Senate and the House, but in state legislatures around the country, is that we'll see a bunch of votes on Roe v. Wade between now and the midterm elections. Senator Schumer wants to get this on the record to make Republicans and Democrats say to their voters, here's where we stand. Because unlike Senator Graham, Senator Schumer knows that a lot of voters out there are one-issue voters, and this one issue people are going to vote on, and people have been voting on for years. So he wants to make this vote something that they can run on in the midterms. And you want to not only see it in Congress, you're going to see it in state legislatures everywhere, regardless of whether they're Democrat or Republican. You'll see Republican-led legislatures throw out bills to completely ban abortion or completely restrict abortion. And you'll see Democratic legislatures throw out legislation to uphold Roe. We're going to see votes on this all around the country at all levels to rile up those voters, those single issue voters that Senator Graham somehow, for some reason, doesn't believe exists. Those votes are going to rile up those voters, and they'll be ready to vote in the midterms.
And Domenico, back in Washington, the Washington Post reported this week that White House officials are making some plans, investigating the possibility of using Medicaid money to help women travel to states where they can have abortions. I wonder if that's possible. What is it that the White House can realistically do here?
You know, I don't know how much the White House can actually do. And you're actually seeing corporations take similar stances where they're saying now some places that if a woman wants to travel out of state or any employee wants to travel out of state for a medical procedure, whether that includes abortions, that they will, pay for them to remain on staff and salary. Yeah. So, you know, that's a big piece of where things are headed and going, I think, where we're going to see a lot more of that. You know, I think the White House and presidents generally are fairly limited. And when you think about with the pressure that the White House is facing to back getting rid of the filibuster, for example, on Capitol Hill, and with progressive activists outside wanting that to be taken out because they want abortion codified by congressional action, the right to an abortion codified by congressional action, it is unlikely to happen because you have senators like Joe Manchin in West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona who are not in favor of doing that. So, you know, they're going to have a vote on codifying, but that failed earlier this year. It's likely to fail again. And you do wonder what kind of pressure is on Republican moderates like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, who, you know, Susan Collins said that flat out that if this Supreme Court opinion winds up being the opinion, that Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, for example, lied to her in their testimonies and to her in her office.
Hmm. Jesse, it seemed this week that Republicans in Washington seemed to want to talk more about the leak itself than the opinion. Here is Mike Lee of Utah on the Senate floor.
Well, I'm convinced that this leak may have been an attempt to intimidate the justices in the majority, perhaps an effort to try to get them to change their position. I'm also confident that this attempt will not succeed.
Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, on the other hand, was one of the few Republicans to say he would absolutely support passing a federal ban on abortion. He said Republicans don't have the votes now, but, quote, I think we will eventually get there. Jesse, a federal ban on abortion no longer a remote possibility, is it?
I don't think that we'll see that happening anytime soon. It would take a major change in both the House, the Senate, and the presidency for that to happen. Two things I saw behind the Republicans wanting to talk about the leak is, the first thing is, number one, they are deathly afraid that something will take away this major victory for them. This is something they've been shooting for 50 years. They see themselves on the verge of getting it, and they're afraid that this leak will mean, for some reason, they won't get it. The second thing I see is that they don't want to see a lot of conversation around this decision because they are afraid it will rile up single issue voters on the Democratic side. And even more importantly, on the independent voter side, they're deathly afraid of losing those votes. So they don't want any conversation around it until it's concrete when the Supreme Court makes this final decision in July or June.
You're also seeing Republicans now start to kind of mislead and try to redirect on, a lot of what Democrats are saying when it comes to abortion. You know, we saw a leaked NRSC memo, the National Republican Senate campaign memo to senators about how to talk about this issue, talking about the various restrictions that people are in favor of. Because broadly in this country, most people, a strong majority of people, want Roe to be upheld and for it not to be overturned. But when it comes down to, a lot of other restrictions, people are, in favor of a certain degree of restriction. So they're in favor of abortion remaining legal with restrictions. Now, Republicans are taking that and turning it around to, instead of looking at the fact that the conservative majority at the court seems to have the votes to want to completely overturn Roe, something that is vastly unpopular in the country, they'd rather turn it around on Democrats to talk about what restrictions they do or don't support and have that be the conversation rather than what's actually going on which is most of these Republican-led states that are putting in harsh or severe restrictions on abortion and access to abortion, and the Supreme Court apparently considering overturning Roe outright.
So in the less than a minute that we have left, we have a new White House press secretary soon, Karine Jean-Pierre, the first Black woman and openly gay person to hold the job. She's made many appearances on this program as a political strategist. Jesse, what is your advice to her?
Don't take anything personally. There's going to be a lot of tough questionings, and frankly, there's going to be a lot of backroom talk that will be on and about her. Ignore the noise, do the work, and she'll be okay.
Jesse Holland, Saturday host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal, and Domenico Montanaro, senior political editor and correspondent at NPR. Great conversation. Thanks to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.